Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO, and you can find me on Instagram under the username ELDUCHOTHRIFT. I'm very excited about this week's episode. I had the opportunity to interview a friend, and her name is Rachel. You can find Rachel on Instagram under the username Rachel X Meyer, and I will put all of that information for you in the show notes. Rachel and her husband are both full-time resellers, and they have two kids that they're raising up here in the Pacific Northwest. However, reselling is the primary source of income for their family. So this is a really great interview if you're interested in hearing about what it's like to rely on reselling as a full-time source of income for your family. I think this one will resonate with you. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. I like to always reflect on whether I know my guest personally, and Rachel is a local reseller friend of mine. I don't know when we met. I want to say it was like maybe 2 years ago. Maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't even seen you in person in like a year at this point. So it had to be a couple years.
I know. Yeah. That's, I'm like, I saw your husband though.
Yeah.
Which sounds really weird actually without any context. But Rachel's husband, they are a reselling duo, power duo. And they also shop at this Goodwill outlet that I do, and so that is how I've seen her husband Chris. But yeah, I know it's crazy to not have seen much of anyone in the past year for that matter, but yeah, I think we met at the bins, right?
Is yeah,
where we first met.
I came up to you and said, hey, I follow you on Instagram,
and I probably followed you. But I don't know that I knew what you looked like.
No.
Yeah. You don't post a ton of pictures.
I'm
of yourself.
An observer.
You're an observer with really great pictures of your thrifted items. I will say that.
Thank you. I like to share.
Appreciated. Yeah. I mean, my FOMO is strong, especially being somebody who lives in your area. I'm like, what? She got that where?
I know that feeling.
All right. Well, I guess to just jump right into it, Rachel, you know, my first question for you is how and when did you first start reselling?
So when I was, I think about 21, maybe like 10 years ago, I first stumbled across the Goodwill outlet and I started purchasing items there, and I was flipping them at Plato's Closet, just, you know, super sporadic, easy way to make quick cash.
Okay. So, I mean, that's interesting that you were doing, well, about like 10 years ago. I'm like, that's something that people are doing it, doing more frequently now.
Yeah.
Okay. So 10 years ago, you were doing this just as like a side hustle?
Yeah. I mean, just a little bit of money, but it was super easy.
And how did you discover the outlet?
I had previously to that worked in a thrift store, so I always like to check out, you know, ones around me, and that's when I stumbled across that one, and I thought the concept was crazy.
And, okay, so I am new to shopping at the outlet, like within the past 3.5 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. What was it like shopping at the outlet 10 years ago?
From what I remember, I mean, I know it was not as busy as it is now.
Yeah.
I remember it being pretty quiet. There definitely wasn't like a wait to get in or a wait to get a shopping cart.
What about pricing? Because I think about like pricing now, we pay anywhere from, what is it? I always mess this up. I'm like, is it 89 cents is the lowest?
Yeah, I think that's for like 100 pounds.
Yeah, and then upwards of, we're paying what, $1.39 or $1.49?
Something like that.
Somewhere around there. Right. I've just heard from like, you know, folklore from other people that like back in the day they used to pay, you know, some absurd number, like 49 cents a pound or something.
Honestly,
like that.
I do not remember that, but that would be pretty epic.
That would be pretty epic. Oh my gosh. I would love that. They should bring back like our old pricing for one day. Yeah. Clear all the junk. Okay. So you were taking clothes to Plato's. Would they take 100% of your stuff? And if they didn't take items that you took there, what'd you do with the rest of it?
At that time, I was not very knowledgeable about like high-end brands or designer items at all. I was getting like trendy stuff, so they did take most of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that they tend to like mall brands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, at that time, you know, were you working somewhere else, and how did it, you know, evolve over the last 10 years to, you know, I guess the point that you're at now?
I kind of, for whatever reason, stopped doing that. At that time, I was pregnant and I had a baby. I went back to work in thrift store management, which is kind of where I had left off before my pregnancy. And when I left my most recent thrift store job, I was pregnant again with my now 5-year-old, and I didn't want to go back to work. And so around that time, I saw a posting on Facebook in like a buy sell trade group. Somebody was selling a Louis Vuitton purse for like $200, and I went and bought it off of her, and I knew it would be easy to make a good chunk of profit on. And I sold it on eBay, and then it just kind of all spiraled from there again.
Okay, so you mentioned that you were working in thrift store management. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that, because I think it's like every reseller's dream to pick the brain of a thrift store employee, let alone a thrift store manager. Yeah, I guess how long did you work in a thrift store? What do you feel like are some of the things that, I don't know, that you learned there that maybe have come in handy today? I feel like I have like a million questions and I can't think of all of them in this second.
When I first started, I was 18 and my best friend was working at St. Vincent de Paul, and she wanted me to come work with her. I didn't have a job at the time, and so it was easy for me to get employed there, and I just kind of started working my way up the ladder into like a supervisor position. And then I left that store to kind of start a family. I had my first daughter. And then I returned when she was 1 and worked my way up again at the next store. It was honestly, it's really fun to work in a thrift store. It's amazing all the crazy things that you'll see, the amount of stuff that is donated. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really fun job. I really enjoy
it. Okay, so on that note, tell me about some of the crazy things that you have seen come through or get donated. Is there anything that, you know, there's got to be a couple of stories that you have?
Yes. There's, I mean, everything from ashes to,
oh my gosh,
you'll see like a collection of someone's entire life, baby pictures, diplomas, wedding albums, a bunch of trash thrown in there, and some gross stuff. Just everything.
Yeah.
Everything you can think of.
Everything you can think of. Is there something that came through, you know, your time working in thrift stores that maybe you got was really valuable, that you guys found out to be really valuable?
The most valuable thing that I recall us receiving was like this full length Burberry lamb leather trench coat.
Ooh.
Wow. And I was super impressed at the time. I thought it was just like the most amazing thing.
Yeah, I feel like that would be tempting. Like, how do you I feel like I would want to like buy everything that I would see come through. So, you know, being that you worked there, were you just shopping there all the time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really easy to just,
yeah, know. And do they have policies? Like, I've heard Value Village employees have like a policy of like, I think an item has to sit on the floor for 3 days before mm-hmm. they can shop. Did you guys have any rules like that, or were you guys allowed to set stuff to the side?
Being that my store was a little bit smaller, we didn't have the same kind of strict rules that they have. So we could shop like right off the floor, right off the racks with no waiting periods.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
And did you guys get a discount?
Yes, we did.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Okay. One more like fun question about the stuff that happened. Was there ever a time that cash got dropped off?
Yes.
Like unintentionally?
Yeah. When I worked at St. Vincent's, a donation came through and there was, I want to say, $8,000 that was in a old film projector box.
Oh my gosh.
And there was several boxes in this donation that had cash, and it actually ended up being on the news because we were trying to find this person, and someone's father had passed away, and as he was cleaning out his father's items, he didn't realize that these boxes that he thought was old junk was filled with cash.
Oh my God. So you guys got it back to him?
Yeah, we did. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Very
yeah,
surprising.
I heard from again, Value Village, to use them as my example. But a Value Village employee once told me that they found, I think it was like, it was some crazy number, right? Like $10,000, right?
Yeah.
A high number like yours in a, it was like a vest. Like, I don't know if it was some sort of tactical vest or something like that.
Right.
But a vest came through and nobody claimed the money. And apparently nobody listening to this podcast hold me to the statement, but apparently the employees get to keep 50% of it.
Wow.
if they report it,
right?
I mean like you probably get to keep 100% if you don't report it, but so I guess that's their incentive to report it. But it's so crazy that must happen so frequently, the money thing.
There's a ton of money in donated items.
That's so wild. Yeah. Okay. So when you were working at the thrift store, working in management, you know, what were you guys, I mean, obviously you're taking in anything and everything and putting it on the sales floor, but like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times resellers believe that employees are looking for the same items that they are. You know, was that your experience? Were you guys looking for certain brands or anything like that? Like, was there
not at all.
Okay. what did the sorting process look like in back?
So my store being a nonprofit was a little bit different because we weren't one of the huge chains.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have, you know, the good, better, best lists with brands on them that I know Value Village and Goodwill use. So we had pretty flat rate pricing. The employees that were working in the clothing donation areas were not very knowledgeable as to what is like a good brand versus a bad brand. It pretty much all went out at the same rate.
Got it. Okay. And is there, you know, in terms of like somebody going in and sourcing at thrift stores, you know, do you feel like there's an underutilized tip that you know because you used to work in stores?
I would say, I mean, the best tip that I use from my experience working in clothing is just to go in every day, which I can't do now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the morning when the newest racks are coming out, if I could go now every day, that's what I would choose to do, is hit it in the morning looking for the fresh stuff.
Got it. So it's not necessarily like go during the markdown sale days. You're just saying it's like a frequency game.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So you said that what brought you online was a local buy sell trade group on Facebook.
Yes.
You purchased the Louis Vuitton bag and then you flipped it on eBay. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you flipped it on eBay. You know, what did the process kind of look like from there? Like you listed that item and then what? I mean, were you still working in the thrift store at that time? And if so, did you start picking up items there to start flipping?
No, I had a infant at the time.
Okay.
And from that point, I started going back to the outlet and kind of using the knowledge and the research that I had picked up working in the thrift store to start reselling again.
And at what point did you, you know, think, okay, this is going to be like, this could be full-time income?
Mm-hmm. As I started buying more and more, I had the motivation to list more and shop more because I wanted to stay home with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the driving force.
Right. And you didn't mention it, but your husband also worked at the thrift store as well?
Yes, we met at work.
You met at work. Okay.
We did.
This is the perfect thrifting love story, which I love.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So at what point did your husband enter the business with you?
So when I was making enough money working part-time to cover our bills for several months, that mm-hmm. is when I was like, are you at all interested in this? Because I feel like we could do this together.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his thought? I want you to be home more with me and with the kids. And I think that this could be fun.
Yeah. So what did he say? What were his thoughts on the whole thing?
He was pretty interested. I mean, I think he was kind of surprised that I was able to pull in that kind of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a baby and a 5-year-old. And not working full-time hours. And so I kind of recruited him to start taking pictures for me when he would get home from work. And then he put in his notice and it just kind of grew from there.
So, you know, again, going back, you said that eBay was the platform that you decided to list on. And I'm trying to think like what, because our children are around the same age.
Yes,
you know, so what would this have been around, like, I'm going to guess here, like 2012?
This was like 2015.
Oh, 2015. Okay. So yeah, got it. So 2015 is when you listed that Louis Vuitton bag?
Yeah.
Okay. 2015, you listed that bag. Had you had any experience selling online anywhere at that point? Had you ever sold on eBay before?
No, I hadn't. And when I think back on how I shipped that expensive purse, I feel awful because I'm pretty sure I just crammed it into a box.
Okay. I thought you were going to say like in a poly mailer, which would have been even funnier.
No, that would be worse, but it wasn't a good shipping experience.
But they probably got, I mean, how much did you make off the bag? Like, what did you end up selling it for?
I sold it for over $800.
Oh, okay. So they
and
still
she
paid
was pleased.
Up. Yeah. I mean, it's still a deal, but also you made some good money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you started listing on eBay. I think that's interesting because even in 2015, right, Poshmark was around. Had you heard of Poshmark?
No, I hadn't.
Okay. Just because between the two apps, a lot of times, I'm sure you have heard this or would just know this in general as well. A lot of times people think, oh, Poshmark, because it's an easier platform to list and sell on, you know, or it appears that way. Yeah. So I think it's always interesting when people start on eBay first. So you're going to the outlet, your husband joins the business, and, you know, once you started shopping at the outlet, you know, you said that when you were working at thrift store management, you guys weren't necessarily looking off of brand lists. You were just putting stuff out on the floor. So once you started doing this for your own business, how did you know what to buy? Like, are you somebody who's flipping through the pages of Vogue? Are you keeping up on trends? How did you figure out what would sell?
I was keeping up on trends at that time. And I was experimenting with a lot of different brands too, because it's so cheap that it's easy to figure out if you've made a mistake and it's not going to cost you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, in terms of what you stocked your store with, I know that you said with Plato's Closet, you were flipping mall brands to them. So, you know, when you first started out, is that kind of what you were, I'm like, that seems like the low hanging fruit. I assume most people do that when they first start reselling, they go for the brands that they know. Is that something that you got stuck with in the beginning, was picking up a lot of low end pieces?
At that point, I had kind of shifted. I remember picking up from the bins like a lot of Ann Taylor, J. Crew. I kind of went from the lower end mall brands to the higher end mall brands. And that sold pretty good for me at the time.
Yeah. Okay. So fast forward to today, where do you sell, like what platforms do you sell on now?
So we are on eBay, Poshmark, and ThredUp.
Okay, eBay, Poshmark, and ThredUp. And, you know, my next question, which I think I've kind of alluded to and we've pretty much answered, is that you and your husband resell full time as a couple. You do this job together as a couple. You know, what is it like reselling as husband and wife? You know, I do this alone, so I only know my experience in it. You know, how do your days work? How does the schedule work? I know, you know, I'm comparing it against myself and I just think of my own crazy chaotic schedule where I'm like, what am I going to do today? Like, do you guys have to, being that you have two kids, we're in a pandemic, let's add that into it. Like, how does the schedule look for you guys as a couple?
I mean, everything has transformed for us so much from where we were a year ago. We went from, you know, dropping the kids off at school and we would go out and source together, to me being at home, you know, overseeing the Zoom calls and the daily schoolwork, and he is now like the main sourcer for us. So it's completely different. But I go out on Saturdays and I'm usually gone all day. That's my sourcing day. And then he is going to the outlet Monday through Friday now.
Okay. So yeah, like you said, the kids are doing Zoom school. They would have been in school, which would have been nice. Like, this would have been your first year having your youngest in school, right?
Yes. We were, we had so many plans for her being in kindergarten and we were going to have like full days to source and it was going to be awesome. And now we have like a completely different plan.
Yeah. So how does it work for you then when you're at home? I mean, are you just, do you feel like you're just like a chicken with your head cut off, like running back and forth between tasks, or how do you fit in? Since your husband is doing the sourcing from the outlet Monday through Friday, like where do you fit in photographing, measuring, inventorying, listing into your day?
I have always been the lister, the measurer, most of the customer service. He has done all of our pictures for the past few years, and he is in charge of all the shipping and the inventorying, which is amazing for me because that is my least favorite thing to do, and he doesn't mind it. So at home, while my kindergartner is on her computer, I am usually, you know, within arm's reach of her, and I will do my listing and my measuring, and then later in the afternoon I can do the photographing.
Okay. So, you know, we kind of have talked or mentioned a little bit about this past year being challenging with the pandemic. You know, how did your business change basically, you know, 9 months ago, roughly 9 months ago? I mean, if we think back to March, being that, you know, you said that you guys were outlet shoppers. Your husband was going to the outlet. Well, I mean, he is Monday through Friday now, but I know I saw him back then, nine months ago at the outlet. You know, when stores shut down, I guess that's basically what I'm saying. Like when stores shut down about 9 months ago, what did you guys do?
We had accumulated a large pile to work on. I think we could kind of see where it was going in regards to the stores closing and being shut down. And so at that point, we tried to accumulate a lot of inventory in a short amount of time because we didn't know what was going to happen. And yeah. I'm very thankful that we did that. Even now, I feel like I kind of have like a little bit of a hoarding mentality when it comes to having inventory on hand because I don't know what's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. So that's really smart of you guys, because I feel like I didn't do that in my business. Like I didn't stock up, but did you get enough to float you through till, I mean, I can think of when our outlets opened back up basically in June. Like, did you have enough to float you through those 2.5 months?
Yes, we absolutely did. I don't know if I should be ashamed, but we had a ton.
No, because this is the time where it's like, no, you were smart to do that. So no, that's great. That's really good. I think it is interesting because, right, I think that, you know, in the reselling community, there's been a thought for a long time of like, no death piles, death piles are bad. And yet this last year proved anybody who had a death pile was the genius, you know, like, yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, moving forward now, do you feel, you said you still are kind of always keeping, I guess, like a back stock of inventory?
Yeah. I kind of feel like in our area, it's hard for us to find affordable, you know, good inventory items that I want to sell. They're expensive if I'm not shopping at the bins. So I don't mind having more than I need for right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, I agree with you because I shop in the same area as you do. So, you know, tell me about your guys' workspace. Sounds like you're operating the business out of the house. Do you have like dedicated spots in the house that are solely for reselling, or is it like, you know, you're working off the kitchen table? How does it work for you guys?
Honestly, we are like a little bit all over the place with everything. Mm-hmm. I wish I could say we had a very dedicated like office space, but we don't. We keep all of our inventory in the garage, and I'm kind of just like working wherever I can, whenever I can right now.
Mm-hmm. And so for your garage, do you guys use like a hanging system or a bin system?
We have bins.
Gotcha. And how many pieces roughly do you have in your inventory?
I think right now we have just about 1,300.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So it's got to be a decent sized garage.
Yeah.
To store all of that.
Yes.
And then for your photo setup, where are you guys doing photography? Like, do you, you know, what I'm just trying to think, like, if you don't have, sorry, I'm just thinking ahead of your answer. It's just if you don't have a dedicated room. Do you have a dedicated room for the photography?
No, we don't. We are working right from the living room.
Okay. And do yeah. What do you use, like box lights, ring lights?
Yeah, we have a ring light and then just okay. like a peel-on wallpaper.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I think that's the nice part about using a ring light for photography is that it's not as bulky as like box lights.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever used them in the past, but
we have.
Okay. I used to put them up and then take them down after every time that I did it. And I just hated life every time that I did that. Because similarly to you, mine was like in a common space in my house. And it's just, yeah. Ring light folds up pretty nicely. Yeah. So, you know, what do you guys feel like are the challenges that you face in your business right now? I mean, you know, 2020 was a lot. And you know, the pandemic isn't over. Mm-hmm. Are there things that you guys feel like, and I know that you kind of mentioned too, that you guys had big plans and for both of the kids being in school and that kind of got, you know, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you feel like?
I feel like my biggest challenge right now is just trying to balance motherhood with working at home. I don't know when my kids are going to be going back to in-person learning. So right now I'm just trying to take everything day by day. And honestly, we've been able to float through. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty pleased.
Yeah. And then, you know, with talking about platforms that you sell on, you know, you said eBay, Poshmark, and ThredUp. And mm-hmm. ThredUp has undergone a lot of changes just in the past few years in general. Most recently, I think they had, you know, a little bit more of a crackdown on resellers. Do you feel affected by recent changes to ThredUp?
Yes, I reserve ThredUp for bins items that are either older and maybe I'm tired of looking at them, they haven't sold for a while, or brands that I know from experience sell better on ThredUp than on eBay or Poshmark. I have reclaimed a lot of items from them recently, but I'm keeping some on for now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think, how a lot of people are feeling. It's just like stuff that you're going to donate anyway is going there. Yeah. Have you ever sent stuff to like the Real Real?
Not for a while, but that's something that I should get back into.
Yeah, just curious, you know, because, you know, I've asked other people on the show, just like, what are all the platforms you tried? And right, there's might be other platforms that we tried, but we don't sell on there currently. Have you done like Mercari, Tradesy, anything else I haven't named?
I haven't. And I think that that's something that I've thought a lot about recently with pulling a lot of items off of ThredUp, is that there's so many more platforms that I should be using. It's just a matter of being able to be diligent in my cross-posting and ending items, because even balancing the three that I have now, sometimes things are falling through the cracks and I want to make sure that I'm not going to be letting that happen, adding more platforms in. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. It does become, I mean, to be honest, completely honest, like when I add in a third one, I'm always like, that's usually it's Mercari. but when I put stuff on Mercari, it just never gets deleted off there, which is sad to say. It gets deleted when I have to cancel the order. So that's a little unfortunate, but.
Yeah, you have to be pretty organized.
You do, because especially if you're not cross-listing every single item to every platform, then you're like, well, is this item over? Like, do I need to delete it off there? And it's just, you know, it doesn't take priority is the reality. You almost need like somebody dedicated to doing that for you. You know, one thing that we didn't or haven't talked about yet, but I'm curious about, you know, it's just like the pressure of being a reselling couple and, you know, being that your both of your money comes from the same place, right? And that you're at the mercy of these platforms that you sell on. I mean, you know, I don't know if it currently is or was in the past or always is. Is this like a stressor that you guys run into of just like, I mean, I know for myself personally, you know, if I have a bad day, a bad sales day, it kind of feels like the end of the world.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So for the two of you, knowing that all of your bills are being paid by this one business together, I mean, like how do you handle that emotionally?
It can be very hard. like the emotional ups and downs of having our household income dependent on reselling is, it's like a roller coaster, but I feel like it's getting easier for us because we're more consistent in our sales the further we get into this life. Mm-hmm. But we still have that, you know, we haven't sold anything. It's like, it's the end of the night and we haven't sold anything. This doesn't feel good, but we also have the attitude now that, you know, tomorrow we can do double what our goal is, because it seems to even out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, yeah, I can imagine that, right? Again, as a couple, like we've all had those $0 days, right?
But yes,
when it's both of you, right? And you're like, great, we both had a $0 day. That must feel, yeah, multiplied as well. I mean, have there ever been points in your time reselling together where you, either one of you has thought, I don't know if we should do this anymore?
Definitely. All the time. All the time. It's hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, even before we were reselling together, we had shared an office together for 2 years and we work together incredibly well. So it's, you know, someone that completely understands every aspect of reselling, which doesn't mm-hmm. always happen with your partner. Mm-hmm. But he knows, he understands like when a customer is being irrational or any part of it that's negative, we can lean on each other and it always gets better the next day.
Yeah. You have one of you to talk the other person off the ledge, I guess. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, again, I know we're still in the pandemic. It's kind of hard to forecast our businesses right now, but you know, where, if you could say, where do you see the future of your business going currently?
I would love for us to add in some more platforms. Mm-hmm. The ones that I know we should already be using, but I feel like right now I'm not organized enough to take those on. I would like for us to be expanding onto those. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm kind of just trying to take it one day at a time at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I know it is. It's a hard time to think about those things. And yeah, I think expanding to other platforms is the next best way, especially because I was having this conversation with somebody recently, you know, there's most of the platforms that exist out there, it doesn't cost money to list on them, right? With the exception of eBay, if I'm off the top of my head, right? None of them charge. So in some ways it's like, why not, right? Why not list your items that you think could sell on this platform that's, you know, you're going to make money if it sells. So it is a win-win. It's just about the management of it all. So
yes.
Yes. I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more. But I've found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
Okay, well, my last question for you is, what advice would you have given yourself when you were first starting out in reselling?
I thought about this earlier, and honestly, like, the first thing that popped into my head was print your labels at home and don't stand in line at the post office.
Oh, yeah.
It's so silly, and it's such a small thing, but I remember carrying my packages with my baby in her car seat carrier and hauling it all into the post office, and I'm like, why did you do that for so long, really?
Wait, so you were buying postage at the counter?
Yes, in the long line with my 2-month-old.
Oh, no.
Yeah, why was I doing that?
Wait, how long did you do that for?
Probably a few months.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, but it's just, it seems so silly now.
That's like not the... That's not the worst answer you could have. If that's like the one thing you would have told yourself, Rachel, that's not so bad. I mean, that's, don't get me wrong, standing in line with a 2-month-old would suck, but.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like, you know, in terms of thinking of like printing labels at the post office or buying postage there, I mean, is there a, you know, are there pieces of equipment that you look back on now that you're like, I should have purchased this sooner, or I should have never purchased this at all?
I wish that I had invested in better lighting earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to look at your old listings and be kind of like embarrassed by your setup, but
mm-hmm.
I think lighting helps a lot. And when I look at my old pictures, I wish that I had just spent the money to make the money quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I hate looking. If I go back and like look at all my, well, because Poshmark saves them, right? They shame us.
Yes.
if I go back and look at those, so I had like a wood panel background. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they're still around. And then my lighting was really bad, and so it was like almost yellowy.
Yes.
It's so embarrassing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we all have to start somewhere, right?
Right.
We all have to start, but we don't all have to stay there.
Correct.
So it's about growth, but all right. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. This has been such a fun conversation with you, getting to know your story and how you started reselling. And yeah, excited to see where your business kind of goes this next year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was nice talking to you.
I know. And I hope I see you at the outlet maybe sometime soon. Otherwise, I don't mind seeing your husband. We just stand around the bins and just talk. So, you know.
He's very chatty.
Yeah, he is very chatty. Love him.
He
so
needs that social interaction outside of me.
It is like, you know, when you go to the outlet, it is like the big, like, social outing for the day, right? If you can find a friend to talk to, it's like, oh my gosh, look at me not talking to just my pets or my
your
children.
Pets, so. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, I will talk with you soon, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there's so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Rachel for being on this week's episode of the podcast. I so enjoyed getting to talk with you and learn about how you run your business and how it has evolved for both you and your husband throughout the years. Again, you can find Rachel on Instagram under the username Rachel X Meyer, and all of that information will be in the show notes for you. I hope you all are having a wonderful January. I still can't believe it's already 2021. This episode is coming out on a holiday, so just remember that the post office is closed today, so you get another freebie for shipping. So instead, spend that time to keep on listing and keep on selling.